where we want to get. I want to read through a few verses. And it has to do with, it involves technology in the civilized world, the day and age we live in. Look at Daniel chapter number 11. And I will turn to a few places. Don't mistake what you're about to hear as somebody who opposes any type of cultural change or advancement to technology. I mean, there are those that everything is of the devil. And I'm not one of those. God uses inventions and technology. The problem is, so does the devil. And it's man's unbelief or belief that determines how it's used. In Daniel chapter 11, I want to get across something today that I believe is one of the most powerful tools of Satan in his plot, his suspenseful plot to deceive the world. And I have to admit to you, I'm not really overly impressed with what he's doing, because I know the end. But I'm still fascinated as I watch God's word unfold and the fulfillment of prophecies unfold. Daniel chapter 11, speaking about the last days, it describes something of a characteristic of the man who will claim to be God in the flesh. And this phrase has always been something that connoted to me technology. But in his estate shall he honor the God of Forces. Now, it's a title. The God of Forces. Daniel chapter 11, verse 38. Sorry if I didn't tell you to turn there. Now, I'm going to run to a few places to show this. The God of Forces. Again, don't get me wrong. Stoves, that's a great thing. Flushing toilets, cars, air conditioners, hot water heaters, thermostats. These are all great things, brother. Amen. But we're going to get into an area that the devil uses to deceive the world. He's acclimated us, all of us, to some extent, fall into the dangers of a web that he has spun around this. So I want you to see that right there. And then I'll look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Again, if you don't turn there, that's fine. That's right after Proverbs. God help me deliver this lesson, please, Father. Here the Lord's speaking through Solomon in all his wisdom and discoveries with the time he had, because of the money he had, to research the different philosophies of the world. And it came to the conclusion, everything's vanity outside of God. Verse 29, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29. God hath made man upright, but, see, there's that but, they have sought out many inventions. So that's showing man's use of inventions and technology can very easily go astray when God isn't the core and the center of its use for glory. Now let's look at something. Look in Revelation chapter 12, because this is where we want to get. Revelation chapter 12. Gee whiz, I don't want to slip on my back and break it. Revelation chapter 12, this is always something that's amazed me, because the devil is not omnipresent or omnipotent. Any of the omnis don't belong to him. Those are all gods. That prefix belongs to God. Revelation 12, verse number 9. The great dragon, and studying the Bible, you recognize that's talking about the devil. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. There you go, right there. And Satan. Now look at this. Which deceiveth the whole world. Now that's a pretty big gamut, brother. He says the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You got demon spirits, floating through the air. He's called the prince and power of the air. We're going to look at something here because I've looked at how does he, world on a worldwide level, how does he deceive the whole world? That's a huge phrase to associate with his ability. And you look at it in chapter 11 of Revelation, and here we see these two annoying believers during this period of time called the tribulation that just bother him to no end. And eventually they're killed when God gives them permission to be killed. In Revelation 11, the Bible says in verse 9, and they of the people, so they're killed, they're crucified, where the Lord was crucified, he says. Verse 9, and they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies. Now you got to realize, brother, don't take lightly the fulfillment of Scripture nonchalantly, like, oh well, you know, sure they saw him. John wrote this in 90 AD. How in the world could the world see? Everybody in the world see these dead bodies for 3 days and a half. There was no technological invention discovered at that point in time that would allow this to even be a feasible possibility. What an incredible book we have.
Right.
And so he says here, a nation shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. They that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. What you've got is some sort of a media presentation. Look. And then following that, you have an interaction with the world. You have what's known commonly as social media. That's how he deceives the world. Don't tell me he doesn't, because he does. And one of the reasons we're living in the timeline we live in is because you know that it's the time of the nearness of Christ's return. It's because of something of this nature. No way could anybody have envisioned the world seeing something like this and then reacting to it. Amen? That's known as social media. That's the first part of it that I want to get across. That's the first half of the subject of matter as a topic and as a title. There's a book somewhere out there called A Whack on the Side of the Head. I'm not suggesting you get it and read it, but its theme involves that at some times in a person's life, you may need to be whacked on the side of the head to wake you up to the reality of your life experience. And so recognizing that, and sometimes I look at the church in my own life, and I say, sometimes God must want to just take the Bible and whack me on the side of the head and say, John, wake up to reality and the very precious opportunity you have in this very short life to honor and glorify me. So now we've seen this aspect of social media. Now I want to look at another concept to incorporate within that. It's John chapter 8. It involves a lie. Thank you for praying for us, by the way. We went on that race. I attribute finishing to prayer and the grace of God.
Amen.
In more ways than one. John chapter 8, verse number 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Here's Christ. Some of the simplest things ever spoken by the wisest men that ever lived are just so hard to understand. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Look what he says. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Runs you right back to the book of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
He was a murderer from the beginning. Now look at this. And abode not in the truth. That means he had access to it. That means he was aware of it, but he rejected it. He spits it out. The devil doesn't understand grace and faith. And might I suggest to you that any lack of understanding of the Word of God involves grace and faith. He can't get a hold of it. They say every lie is a truth twisted. He abode not, and he takes it. He hears it, doesn't hear it, and he regurgitates it. He spits it out. Amen. And they say light rejected is lightning. Amen? So he has access. I read that story about the Lord talks about that parable of the Word of God being sown like seed. Mm-hmm. And they chuckle at it because here come the fowls to eat it up. And they're eating up and they're flying away. They're eating up and they're flying away. And the Word just keeps going out. You throw out seed. You just throw it out. And at least when I see the lawn, I just throw it all over the place. And all these birds are just eating up. All he can, the devil's eating. He must get a stomach ache. Amen.
No.
You could tell that his obsession with the Word involves hearing it and being compelled to twist it in order to turn it into a lie. He's a liar, and he speaketh a lie. Jesus said, "Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." It's quite simple. Now you look at this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because you're going to see in the world of social media, he has taken something God has intended through social media to glorify himself. And he regurgitates all the words, they're all from the Bible. Look at it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now I'm going to show you that social media, when it is interacted with the enzyme of unbelief, it results in an alternate reality. Because that's what a lie is. The world can't get to escape it. The problem is Christians fall prey to it. When you begin to think an alternate reality is reality. It's simply not, brother. And God breaks you free from it, from the simplicity of faith. And grace allows you to see. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You see, the world concept around us can create a false sense of security. Because everybody's saying the same thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to caution you with the world's concept of Christianity. It can create a false security, brother. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says the same thing here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because they received, now I understand this involved people in the tribulation, but you can never separate the reality of our ability to be deceived and tempted by Satan now. Because after all, even though our souls are not going to perish, our outward bodies are. The outward man perish. He talks about, he says, with all deceivable and right, and them that perish, because they received not, now here's the thing right here, the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this moment God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Now I am going to present to you my belief, and the Christian needs to be cautious of the information overload through technology that exists today, amen, in their interpretation of reality, that you don't get caught up in an alternate reality, that we're going to look at God's Facebook is the Bible. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that that's the media. And God's social media that interacts and informs others of what is in God's Facebook is the church. And all he wants us to do is simply fall in love with the truth. That's it. You say, I believe that with all my heart, amen. But I believe Christians have gotten caught up in the cultural changes of the world around us and begin to employ alternate means of reaching the lost through technological abilities of social media. Can God? Yes, he can. I already preceded the message with that, so don't misinterpret what I'm saying, because you'll hear as we go on. Amen? It's unavoidable in all our lives, and we'll look at it a little bit more in a minute after we pray past this introduction. Lord, please, please help us to see the absolute truth of your word, and anything that departs from it is alternate reality. And help us to recognize in all our lives how we're affected by social media, not to be pulled into the sticky trap of the spider's web. I ask that, Lord, you can set us free so that we can then use social media as you intend it to be your network to preach the gospel. For Christ's glory, I ask in his name, amen.
Amen, brother. I think I've gotten across what we're trying to look at and understand. Christians are not exempt from the inherent evil of social media because we still live in a body of flesh. Now you look at the media. It's become a very broad source of information. Days and days and days years ago, they'd work all week long and maybe a couple weeks, and eventually they'd go to the center of town. They'd go to some sort of meeting house, you know, to talk about things and news and plans for the town or troubles they're having and working together. And then they'd use horseback to get information across, and they'd use the postman driving around in a blue and white car at that time, amen? And then they'd gradually evolve into local newspapers and magazines and books and orators that were skilled and storytellers that would get news across to others, and people would gather around. Then, at one point in time, the printing press comes into play here, and you've got more of a mass outreach to people, and you've got the electricity is something that's discovered. You've got code communication and voice and phone communication, and then television, where you can not just audio communicate but visual communicate, and this wide increased spectrum of information output in through the media just increases, but it's only one way. And it's in and of itself, it's not wrong. Just like education, brother. I mean, 1 + 1 = 2, and 2 × 2 = 4, and 7. You learn the basics of math and the basics of phonetics and reading. There's nothing wrong with that until man comes along and starts telling you the Bible's a lie. You weren't created. You evolved. And they start teaching you propaganda and what to think, not how to think. That's what technology has done also. The news media is a means of socially engineering on a global scale how people think. Amen? What they think. And all of a sudden our attitudes and our morals and our beliefs are shaped by this technology of social media. Dangerous, brother. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me it isn't, because it is. It becomes an alternate reality. It's only one way, and then here what pops in. Beyond this, you begin to have the ability to make it two-way. That's what makes it social media. See? You begin to be able to interact. The information can go both. It's not just reality, live reality TV that's entertaining you, or competition. All of a sudden, your opinions, your thoughts, all of a sudden they matter. You're somebody now in this big worldwide web. Amen? Don't tell me that's not the case. That's what exists all around us. And we're all part of it. In and of itself, it's not wrong. But on a global scale, it's very effectively being used by Satan. He's not just brainwashing, deceiving little pockets of people in small towns and communities or even states or nations. He's engineering the world to be conformed to his image and eventually receive a man that will rise up, the beast himself, Satan incarnate, the future Antichrist. Now, there exists a plethora of social media networks and sites, none of which are wrong of them. The problem is us, brother. It's our nature. Amen? In unbelief, we use them for the wrong. You got what is called LinkedIn, something like that. It's a professional profile site. MySpace, space. Personal friends. Keep in touch. What a great thing. Integrated games from one country to another. You can interact with people. You've got Instagram and Viber and WhatsApp and Lithium and SharePoint and things I don't even know about, just the words I read about it. You got Twitter.
I was, well, what's Twitter and the hashtag biz? Over 100 million people, quick and current ability to make posts and keep in contact with people. Amen. During church, you can Twitter. During a funeral, you can Twitter. During a marriage ceremony, you can tell people what's going on. You got YouTube with over 2 billion videos a day. Anyone at any time can go viral. You could become a celebrity, of a celebrity stat. I got that guy, Keenan Cahill, I watch. This little kid, this little twerp-looking kid that is just famous with his glasses because he lip-syncs. I didn't know, just lip-syncs to songs. Yeah. Makes funny faces as he does. He gets all these millions of people watching him and they're what kind of time do people waste on this sort of social media of such of that nature? Well, Brother John, you just said, yeah, well, I realize that. But the point of it, you can start to go further and further with this, where it begins to steal time, that you need to be using it for other things. Arguably the most popular one of is Facebook. Facebook, brother, I mean, there's over 500 million active. That's now the third largest country in the world. Social media, amen? And it started, I think, with Harvard, one of these Ivy League schools, with a student site, Keeping in Touch. And I want you to realize that Satan's obsessive desire for self-exaltation, magnifying himself, uses social media as an alternate reality, copying and counterfeiting God's Facebook and his outreach that's intended to be through the church. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? Now, you could get an interesting study on social media from evolution to rebellion. You just can go through. But there are certain key hallmarks that I believe are found on the World Wide Web, identified in the Bible through its three-time usage of the word spider. Web spider. That's pretty cool. I think we can use that. And taking a play on words, I kind of want to look at what he does with this web, a rhyme play with the word face. Amen? And what he is able to do with his lying deception. Beware, brother. Amen? The first one is a trap lie. Amen? He's going to trap you with a lie. And you'll find in Isaiah 59, one of the three times a spider is found in the Bible. Now, he has his own PR campaign through social media. This one involves PR Ordy. See, what did you just say? There you go, brother. Amen. Priority. P-R-O-R-I-T-Y. Look at it in Isaiah 59. This is how he traps you.
Isaiah 59.
The devil knows this. He knows how you were made. Listen to me, brother. Please listen to me. Isaiah chapter 59. Social media. An alternate reality. Isaiah 59 verse 4 and 5. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in what? Ooh, vanity. And speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. There's the use of the word spider. Now, I want you to see number one in his PR campaign is what's priority. What's number one on the list? It's vanity. That's what will pull you into an alternate reality. There's nothing wrong with using social media. It becomes an alternate reality when you get your priorities screwed up. And you become number one. Amen, brother. I know what I'm talking about. Say, what does that have to do with face? Or I call this you face. You face. Now, if we played a little game called word association, I said stock market, what would you think of? Well, can you repeat that? Stock market. Well, I would think of money. And I'd win, amen, because I know the answer. If I said rainbow, what would you think? You'd think of, if I said Japan, you'd think of Honda, if you have a Honda or Toyota. I mean, help me out here. What do you think of?
Maiden.
If I said bar, what would you think of? Alcohol, right? Well, in Japan, where they make lots of money with all type of colorful drinks, they have another word association with bar. It's monkey. They have successfully trained monkeys through the use of positive reinforcement to serve alcohol drinks refills to customers. And all they have to pay them is soybeans! Now, the devil understands that man is a social creature. And what we hunger, it's not good that man dwell alone. What man hungers and thirsts for are friends, acceptance, love. Social media says, here's a new friend you can have today. Here's 10 of them. You don't have to meet them. You don't have to ever verbally talk to them. You don't even have to know who they really are. They're just on your friend list. Say, what is that? That's alternate reality. You begin not to understand what a real friend is. But the devil knows how to positive. I got a new friend. Hey, I got another friend. It becomes an alternate reality. Brother, if that's your idea of friends, I'm telling you right now, they're a bunch of soybeans. I'm going to make a confession. The amount of friends I have on my Facebook are zero. But I'm not offended. My friends on God's Facebook are one. Everyone and anyone that names the name of Jesus Christ is my friend.
Yes, sir.
And I'd love to talk to you about God's Facebook. Maybe even we could talk about some texting. There's lots of them in here. Amen. Father, why monkey around with friends when you can go ape for Jesus Christ? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's a little town in Italy. I'm told of a tribe. A stocky breed, not too tall. Nobody in Italy is. There's no basketball players in Italy. A breed that's of a darker complexion, so I'm told, lightly thinning here. The ultimate insult of this ancient Italian family was your face. You face is what they tell us. Now that has passed down through the generations and been altered through the Baldino family, who I believe are our ancestors, according to social media. Your faith is the ultimate insult for anything. You know, somebody cuts somebody down, they say your face. It's always your face, your face, your face. Amen. The thing about Facebook is you create your own face. But you don't have to face up to the ultimate reality insult. You face. But that's what God is going to show you in His Facebook. You face my face. Amen. People don't want to face up to who they are. Thank you. Brad Paisley has a song called Online. I work down at the pizza pit and drive an old Hyundai. I still live with my mom and dad. I'm 5'3" and overweight. I'm a sci-fi fanatic, a mild asthmatic. Never been to second base, but there's a whole nother me that you need to see. Go check out my space. I'm so much cooler online. So much cooler. See, Satan's lie that he spins on this web is you can be anybody you want to be. On social media. Nobody knows if it's truth or not. You know, amen? Let me tell you something, brother. You face is a you face. I don't care what you post on Facebook. It's not someone else's. See, you want a lie? Well, then you'll get a lie, amen? This is God's face. When God was giving out faces, brother, amen, in His infinite knowledge of everything throughout time, amen, there's only one face He could possibly give to you. Because everybody else already has theirs. What in the world are you trying to be somebody else for? That's what social media does and allows you to do. It's a spider's web. You're trapped. It's a spider's web of vanity. I'm a movie star or a beauty queen or a supermodel. You take pictures where you're posing. Who poses in real life? Who Susan! In real life. Those that are vain, brother. Amen! I'm a beauty queen. I'm a supermodel. I have no blemishes on my flesh, or my nose is perfectly shaped. I'm a multimillionaire. I have a successful job. I have a fancy, beautiful car, dream home, endless friends galore, boyfriends and girlfriends. Ha! Plenty of them, brother. Amen. Fans, fans, fans. All the abs you want, brother. The only one I want is knowing Jesus Christ is absolutely wonderful. Amen. That's reality. Here's a mama, social media mama, 21st century, walking down the street, dark clothes. You can't see her face. It's like this. She had dark clothes on and walking down the street with a little peppery little child skipping along as she sings. Can't sing the child's face neither. I'm going shopping, shopping, shopping. I'm going shopping early in the morning. What are you going shopping for, little girl? A new dress? Nope. What are you going shopping for, little girl? A new toy? Nope. What are you going shopping for, then, little girl? A pet that you can call your own? Nope, 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 nope. As she slowly turns around, there's a dark aura of horror when you look at her. My face. Mama said I can be anything I want to be on social media. I'm going shopping, shopping, shopping. That's what social media does. You create anything you want to create. I'm telling you right now, brother, it's a lie. God gave you face to you, amen? He already knew, amen? Here, I see two thieves trapped on Satan's spider web. And that song by the Carpenters comes to mind. Are we really happy with this lonely game we play? Looking for the right words to say, searching but not finding understanding. Anyway, we're lost in this masquerade. Listen to that song. I look at these two thieves, and all of a sudden one of them recognizes in front of them is a carpenter like no other carpenter. He'll put a different song in your heart. Amen. And he looks at him and he says, Lord, right at his face, would you remember me when you enter into your kingdom? And he looks back at him. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Say, what's that? That's reality. Yeah. Just a lost sinner. I know where I'm going without God giving me salvation. I don't deserve it. Jesus Christ, please, would you save me? Sure. That's reality. Yeah. The other one dies with alternate reality as the social media around him swarms his mind with lies and lies. He's not the Son of God. And they're lying. He's not going to resurrect. He did resurrect, amen? Mm-hmm. This incredible worldwide web. Brother, can sustain all types of storms, but the right wind can blow it down at any time. I think if it's coming out of the mouth of the Holy Ghost, it'll do it every time, amen? But before tomorrow comes, the spider will spin that web all over again. And let's look in Proverbs chapter number 30. They're not just trapped in a lie. See this little bug swarming around? Just going, ooh, look at that little dead little thing. I can even, ooh. It's trapped. It's stuck. You wanted a lie. So God gave you a lie. You want alternate. You want to be something you're not. Okay, amen. You can't face reality. That says, okay. But something else happens. Because all of a sudden, here comes this spider. He's got the beard, and the lobe of eye, and the beady eyes, and the hair like... Say, what up, the spider? They say it's one of the ugliest creatures that exist. Never mind dogs, these funny-faced dogs. Spiders are... You blow up a spider's roof. Looks just like that. Here's the problem, brother. You're not just trapped. You're wrapped. Because you know what happens on this web? You wanted a lie. Now all of a sudden you believe a lie. That web that has trapped you is now beginning to wrap you because here comes that spider. And he begins wrapping you up. And you become obsessed with alternate reality. I hope it's not anybody in here. Amen? Because this is reality, brother. Amen? This is reality. Praise the Lord. But there's problems people have when you get wrapped in this web, because not only are you face that you won't face up to, you become two-face. You turn from the truth. You don't want it anymore. Amen? You reject it when it's brought to you in love. Andy Warhol said, in the future, everyone will be famous for at least 15 minutes. Do you talk on the net as though everything you post or it's posted about you is reality? They used to say loose lips sink ships. Now it's loose tweets sink fleets. Libraries have become prehistoric Googling dinosaurs. There's an interesting correlation that I think you might mathematically make. There's about 500 million or so active Facebook members, and approaching that in the unemployment world. Makes you wonder. The Chinese restaurant, somebody opened a fortune cookie and it said your Instagram of this meal will be only moderately popular. It's becoming reality. It's becoming reality. To lost people, it is reality. It matters what people on the internet think about you. Who cares? Who cares? What does God think about you? Amen. You got these torque Twitter nuts. Somebody makes a phone call and says, hey, you gotta help. My Twitter's not tweeting. Can you tell me what you had for breakfast? As I was a child not that long ago, mind you, social networking was my parents saying, go outside! I heard a forest advertisement, and I said, man, this is great. Little kids are being told as I'm listening to the radio, the forest. You gotta go to the forest today, you bring your mom, so on and so forth. Great. And then all of a sudden, it's an app. It's an internet. It's not real. It's surreal. Virtual becomes real. Amen. Two-face. You reject what God is showing you about you, face. As he's spinning, that's not me. I'm gorgeous. I'm beautiful. I'm nice. I'm important. I thought you were my friend. You can't interpret what a friend is anymore. In God's Facebook, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Amen? You can't even interpret it, amen? Because you're not in this book the way you should be. Praise the Lord, Brother John. Yeah. God speaks his word in love, and so does a true friend. Amen? You think of all those hideous faces and that spider that just traps you and then wraps you, and then God wants you to look. Truth, brother, you got to look. That's your face. Look through that wrapping. God, that's your face. In the face of Satan, that you swallowed his lie, whatever it might be. The lie that you received is the face that you want to be your face. You're really beautiful, not ugly. That's what God is showing you about yourself. It's an alternate reality. Amen? This is God's Facebook. This is absolute reality. Amen, Brother John. Your face is mirrored in the face of Satan's lie. You deceived your brother. Amen. Don't become a Miss Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. God showed it to him. You only believe 25%. Got his social network advisors all around. Next thing you know, it says, hey, we're not going to build the other three parts of this thing. I just like the first part. Amen. God had to knock him down and show him his real face was the face of a beast. Amen. You got these little idol decorations. They call them the seven deadly sins. I don't know if you've ever seen them. Some of them are quite artistic. Some of the sculpting is kind of actually, they're kind of neat to look on. Lust and greed and gluttony. I'm talking about the artistic aspect. Envy and anger. Say, that's what I look like. Anger and pride and sloth. And God says, you're trapped and you're wrapped. And God says, yeah, that's what you look like. I don't want to look like that. That's what you look like, brother. God didn't change the nature. Did Christians kill me, brother? I can't believe Christians are hypocrites. What are you talking about? Amen? We're all hypocrites. Amen. We all have lies that we're capable of telling and saying and spreading and gossiping. All of us have proneness to the works of the flesh listed in Galatians chapter number 5. Yeah. Amen? Why is it more despicable when you see it on someone else and God said, maybe that's something about you. I don't want to see. That's what you do. Amen. You want an alternate reality. Brother, this, we're talking about absolute reality. Social media, it's a problem, brother. It's denial of the sinfulness of sin. Amen. They say 81% of internet crimes are through content that gathered that people post about themselves. 78% of burglaries use social media. A third of sex crimes, they get their source of information through social media. Yeah, brother, social media, brother, it's going to put you, the law is going to be broken through it over and over and over. The teens and adults jockeying for status approval. Bragging rights risk all their privacy concerns with risque pictures, ill-conceived words, amen? You ever read, when's the last time you read the Big Ten and apply it to social media? No gods, no idols, you know, honor his name, you know, rest, your parents, murder, adultery, stealing, false witness, covetousness. I think that those are all being broken on social media all the time. Amen, Brother John. Mm-hmm. We got to be aware of this stuff. And understanding that not only will it trap us, it will begin to wrap us. And you get captive, you become obsessed. Well, I got to go home and see how many people, how many hits I got today, how many new friends I got, who read me, who likes me, who cares about. Nobody does, brother. Amen. Except God.
Amen.
Because He does care for your soul.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So listen to His voice when He speaks to you. Here's the last book in Job chapter 8.
You can do the one in Proverbs.
I didn't turn to Proverbs?
30.
No. Proverbs 30. What was it?
28.
Proverbs 30, 28. It's the spider. He makes it to the king's palace. Proverbs 30, verse 5. We don't have to turn it because I'm in Job chapter 8. Satan presents before God. Look at this. Look at what they swallow. That's that spider making it all the way in the presence of God, accusing you. He swallowed this lie. He believed this lie. And I want you to look at this last thing because it's so important. The problem. The Job chapter 8, verse 14.
14?
Job 8, verse 14. It's a hypocrite's lie. He makes a promise to you. It's just simply not true, brother.
Yeah.
Job 8, verse 14. Whose hope shall be cut off and whose trust shall be a spider's web?
Mm.
Whose hope, he says, it's going to be cut off. It's like a spider's web. And oftentimes, I want you to get this, because it's not just the trap lie or the rap lie. It's the app lie. Social networking is full of them. The Bible says in Psalm chapter number 90, you know that app is an abbreviation for apply. We're looking at the app lie.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm chapter 90, verse number 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may app lie our hearts unto wisdom. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
Here's the devil. He promises. It's a hypocrite's promise. Yea, hath God said. It doesn't change, brother. I promise. He shall not surely die. I promise. He shall be as gods. I promise you, you weren't created. You can evolve into godhood through any religion of your choice. Just be good. That's good enough. I promise that the flood wasn't really a flood. Nada. I promise that the Red Sea is... Come on, brother. It's the Red Sea is parted. Give me a break. I promise you that Jonah wasn't swallowed by a whale. I promise you that prophecies are after the fact, not before. They couldn't possibly be. I promise you. Jesus wasn't virgin born. Come on. Haven't you read that on social media? I promise you that God could not possibly become a man. That the description of his vicarious death is a lie. That he didn't literally rise again. There's no such thing as a second advent or a rapture or a tribulation or an Armageddon. Just movies, brother. It's all lies. I promise you it's not true. Heck, I'm telling you right now, even me, even I'm a lie. Well, gee whiz, every lie is a truth twisted. Amen? The devil's a lie. Just be good and that'll be good. A trap lie, a rap lie, and an app lie. There's a story regarding the... I want you to turn here to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 because it's important. We're going to be closing up. It's a Facebook app. Alternate reality. It promises to post a final pre-chosen status after you die. A humorous, tragic response on the web says, I don't need a final status change after I die. I need someone to take care of my farm bill crops.
Oh my goodness.
You say, what's that? Alternate reality. Alternate reality. Well, let me tell you, hit the apply. So you do it. It's that simple. Learn how to hit the delete and learn how to hit the apply. Start loading God's word into this computer right here. Amen? Because he lives, he shall live also. Hit it, brother. It's no longer I. Amen. Hit it, brother. I'm crucified with God. Hit it, brother. Apply. Let God start shaping and changing. The Bible says, God that cannot lie. Promised before the world became. What's that? Eternal life. To everyone that believes. To blazes what technology of unbelief that pulls you away from reality and brings you into alternate reality. I read the story of a couple caterpillars getting ready to bungee jump from a spider's web. They were having difficulty. They felt a little stuck. One of them looked up to the other, and as a butterfly flew over, and they said, you'll never get me flying one of those things. Not really realizing what could belong to them if they believed God's word. You know the MSN logo for that website? It's a butterfly. Butterflies have always represented new life and resurrection, even in the pagan world. In 2 Corinthians 3, let me show you this, because Satan regurgitates, uses God's word. You'll find the net, the web, online, upon line. You'll find text, the entire Bible. You'll find dragging and moving the mouse and sending and posting and threads and the cloud and apples and windows and friends and friends and friends. You'll find them all in the Bible. When's the last time you read a text from God's Facebook and it was live? It wasn't from the past. I wonder. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. I'm lost in my sins, Brother John. I've been living a lie. Hit the delete button. Let the blood of Jesus Christ wash away all your sins. Amen? Amen. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 13. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. They couldn't see. And he said, in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done, the Old Testament, they couldn't see the truth of the New Testament. They were blinded. And he tells them in verse 30, but we all with open face. Well, this is God's Facebook. See, you have a you face, two face, and if you let God, you can have a new face. Amen? But it's not yours. It's his. He wants you to see this and understand what it means to be clothed in his glory. Tell me, when you get to heaven, what are you going to do? You're supposed to be there already. Amen. Fall in love with God and become his social network. You say, what are you going to do? Just tell people about Jesus. There's really nothing complicated about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, we all with open face. But now when you jump to chapter 4, he talks about being blind again. In verse 3 and 4, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And Paul begins to say that the life of Christ is manifest in our bodies. The death of Christ is manifest in our body. And when you jump down to verse 13, he says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. See, the Bible is his media. Old Testament, New Testament. The church is the social media. We're from faith to faith. We're a testimony of God's grace to a world that's dying in an alternate reality. They believe a lie. Don't get sucked into it, brother. Amen? The Bible's true, I guarantee you. For years and years, it's fascinated scientists. You say, what's that? The spider's web. It's got properties, they say, are comparable to the Kevlar repelling bullets in its strength and radial tires on vehicles for its flexibility and durability. The amazing thing about the spider web is it starts internal from its abdomen, and then it flows out
So everything the devil does is a counterfeit, amen? From its glands, and it becomes a solid, tangible substance, amen? Traps and wraps, and then he applies venom. Yeah, they don't call the black widow spider a black widow for nothing. He devours those he first makes love to. Amen. But they've been amazed at the spider's web, because there's certain insects that just won't stick to it. One of the most amazing, guess what, is the butterfly. The butterfly, brother, has an app on its wings. Powdered scales. At any time it feels trapped, all it has to do is hit the delete button and fly away. Amen. And all that remains is the image of the old. Just crap right there. And starts, I'm free, man. That's the old. This is the new. Say, brother, I think MSN had something that was counterfeiting the Bible, and how God wants us to give us freedom with a new face. Amen. Our face needs to be understood. It's the glory of Jesus Christ. I ask, Lord, that you bless this lesson, please. Help us all beware of social media. Use it in a way as intended to glorify Christ, and not get woven into a false alternate reality where we begin to think we're something we're not. Amen. Dust to the glory of God. Breathing your life. And I ask that we remember that as we continue throughout this day and weeks and the week to follow, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.